Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have taken us from the darkness. And through the light of your Son and the Holy Spirit shining in us, that you have allowed us to walk in the light. Lord, guide us, direct us, so that we might be reflections of that light day in and day out into this darkened world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we asked the Sunday school classes kind of what holiday is tomorrow, what's special about tomorrow, and of course, the answer isn't Reformation Day. It's Halloween. It's Halloween is the big day. But it was on All Hallows' Eve. It was on the eve of All Saints' Day, Halloween, you know, that's an Augustinian monk, a preacher, a lecturer, a teacher of the Old Testament, did something that changed the world, or at least started something that changed the world. You know, it was just an 8-minute walk, somewhere right around there, from his monastery to the castle church doors. And it was there on the castle church doors that he nailed his 95 theses, if you got to see him on the walkway. You know, it's pretty cool, but he had no clue. He had no clue. He was starting something in the firestorms and the whirlwinds, and how he would go from a kind of unknown monk into probably one of the most famous people in all of Europe in just a short amount of time. You know, but I don't think we can go as far as kind of saying, you know, October 31st, 1517, that we would use the words that John used, that we are free, that now the truth is out there, and we are free because we have the truth. Actually, if you read some of these theses, one's like number 44, I know it's gone now, so you can't, but it talks more about works, and it still has some of that flavor. Of works, and you would say, well, where is that we are saved by grace through faith? Where is that? And you have to understand Luther. You have to understand Luther's life and his spiritual journey wasn't just kind of a flip a switch, it's on and now he's good, but it was a long journey, even getting to the monastery. You know, his father was a miner who had multiple kind of companies, businesses to pay for Luther to go to law school, you know, and he wanted that for his son. But then on that ride home, under that lightning storm, the lightning bolt that changed the world, as it's been called, Luther cries out to Saint Anne, the patron saint of mining, save me, and if you do, I'll become a monk. So not kind of, hey, I'm going to this because I'm there, but he gets there. Even his dad's not real happy. It's not a good time in the Luther family. There's a lot of strife, and he gets to ordination, and his dad finally comes, and so there's some pressure, but he's up there, and he's consecrating the elements, and a great fear goes over them. And he's up there, and he starts to shake as he's holding them, and he opens his mouth, but nothing comes out, not because he doesn't know the words. No, intellectually, he knows the words, he remembers them, but he's having this great fear. How can I, a mere mortal, a sinful man, a unrighteous person, hold the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior? How can I put it into my mouth? And the fear grips him. And he gets through it. And, you know, there's some shaking, and he quickly goes through the words because he knows them, and then he kind of hurries off. Doesn't stop there. It's not now he's ordained. Now he knows everything, but he continues to have these bouts of depression. And even rage as he sees that he is unworthy, and God is holy, and he deserves death and damnation, and he has to do better. And so he beats himself, and he fasts, and he prays, and he does all the things, but he doesn't feel better. He even goes to confession with his father confessor, and, you know, maybe after brother Pete, you know, he's there for 5 minutes, and he talks about, hey, you know, I coveted, you know, his meal. It looked better than mine, and I didn't get up for morning prayer as fast as I should, or I felt tired. Luther goes in there, and he just lays it all out. And he's there not for 5 or 10 minutes. He's there for hours. Hours. And he walks away feeling a little bit better. But then, as probably you do and I do and others, you know, he wakes up in the middle of the night and he says, oh, I forgot that one thing. And then it all comes back. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I fail. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. But then, in reading God's word, in reading the scriptures, and being led by the Holy Spirit. This is all about the Holy Spirit. It's not even really about Luther. It's about the Holy Spirit leading Luther. And he opens up those wonderful words from Romans. And he understands that righteousness isn't something that we have in ourselves, but rather it's an alien righteousness. It's God coming and speaking to Luther and saying, you are worthy. You are holy. I have done this for you. And of course, that changes everything for Luther. That changes his whole life. Now he understands that even though he is a sinner, even though he falls short, he is righteous before God. And that God isn't just an angry judge looking to devour you, but rather he wants to pour out his grace upon you. And he transforms him. And he continues to write, not just 95 theses, but book after book and sermon after sermon and lecture after lecture, so much to the point where it gets all the way to the Pope. And the Pope doesn't like it. The Emperor doesn't like it of the Holy Roman Empire, and so they kind of call him to account. The Pope gives a papal bull, which is a pronouncement upon him, and makes him an outlaw so that anybody that sees him can kill him. And the, you know, it's ex surge domini, the first words in Latin. That's the name of the bull, and it means Lord, rise up, because there is a boar in the Lord's vineyard. It's wrecking everything. So Luther is called to the Diet of Worms. A legal debate, a discussion on all of his writings. They lay all of his writings out before him, and he's told to recant. Say that you didn't believe this, you were crazy or whatever, but to recant. He says, give me 24 hours. Let me pray about this. Give me 24 hours, and I'll come back and give your answer tomorrow. And they say, okay. And they allow him to go, and he goes and prays. And of course, that next day is kind of that famous speech. If not by the scriptures themselves or reason, I am convinced otherwise. I believe in this, and I will not recant. Here I stand. The word of God that was shining in him through the Holy Spirit now speaks forth that he will not change, because it's God's word. It's God's word, and what a wonderful thing. And so even today in our gospel lesson, what a wonderful lesson for the Reformation. To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. You know, I know we're in the middle of a political season, and you've probably seen ad after ad after ad from both sides. You might have watched a debate or two, or at least seen the highlights on either the newspaper or online or whatever it might be. And you just kind of go, really? They said that? You know, how'd they get that? You know, I don't agree with that at all, or, you know, whatever it is. And there's some pretty crazy statements. But I think from our gospel text today, there's one even more crazy than all of those that's ever been made, you know, in the political seasons. It's the Jews. It's the Jews when they say, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. You know, it's like, what? Don't you know your own history? Don't you know from where God has called you out of Egypt because they enslaved you for many years? Don't you remember throughout your history as God has given you over to other nations and the Philistines and the Assyrians and the Syrians and the Babylonians have come in and they've even deported some of you and destroyed, you know, tribes of Israel and all of that. And what about today? I mean, even with Jesus standing there, don't you see the Romans that are all around you that you want to get rid of? But they don't see themselves as slaves. They don't see themselves as enslaved to anything. Isn't that kind of like us too, though? We're not slaves. We're Americans. You know, maybe going back to George Washington and some of those, yeah, they had to get the British out and all of that. There might have been some times. And yeah, there was some history that we don't like. You know, and some people were enslaved, but really we're from the land of the free and the home of the brave, and so we're okay. What does Jesus say? Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And I think even in our church background, in our church kind of, we belong to a church that we quickly kind of even push this aside sometimes. Yeah, no, I am a member of this church, or I've been a member of this church body my whole life, or I've done this, or I've done that, and yeah, I sin, but it's not anything to do with slavery. That's more me in my freedom. I'm given a choice to do what's right and do what's wrong, and I just choose to do the wrong sometimes. Jesus wouldn't have anything of that. He would say, no. You who sin, that's your nature. You are a slave to sin. And so just as much as Luther and the church back then had to have the wonderful gospel revealed to them over and over again because they'd gotten off track, we need to hear it again today. The Reformation isn't just 505 years ago, but it needs to continue today as God's word needs to come and change us. And it's that same alien righteousness. It's outside of us. It's outside of us that Jesus comes and tells us, you are my child, that you are my son, that you are my daughter, and I have made you free. Because we can't do it. And even if we try, we'd be just like Luther in that we would mess up. We would forget. We would not do it. I mean, we all know this. If you have any doubt, just try it. Try to go without sinning. You know, missing the mark. Missing the mark to God's word. Just try. And I won't even start with a month or a year. Just try for a day. And quickly see how that goes as we fail. And so we need the gospel message to come and be taught and told to us once more so that we might walk in freedom, so that we might walk in the truth. Be led by the Holy Spirit so that we can stand confidently in what Christ has done, so that we might stand with the reformers, you know, Luther and others from other denominations as well that brought forth the truth and faced persecution even to the point of death. But they did not recant. They did not change because God's word, his strong word, is life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reforming of your church, and we ask that you would continue to reform it today so that we would be the church that you called, the church that you brought together and willed and called to go forth. Help us to not try to do it because we can't. And really, if we try, it just brings us despair, but rather see you. See the work of Christ on the cross and there find hope, there find life, there find courage to go forth and stand firm. here I stand on your gospel because it is truth. Allow that to be the banner in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us stand as we go to the Lord in prayer.